This is the Freedom Fiend, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios at the corner of Trashview and Nata Vesta. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, John and Shane?
I'm seeing things.
Whoa.
I can feel it. It's working.
I'll take some of what he's having. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. All right. So we are back. It is Sunday night, Monday morning, and it's Jeremy here with John and Shane as usual. What's up, guys?
Hanging out.
What's up, Jeremy?
Yeah. Oh, you know, lots in my world as always. It's been interesting.
Been in the trenches, have you?
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting week since I was here last because we didn't do the Tuesday show again. So I've only been doing one a week for the past couple of weeks. Feels like forever since I've been sitting behind the mic now for this. But yeah, so. Since we were last all together last week, I had court again on Thursday, so that was fun. Another huge waste of my time, albeit with...
Thanks, government.
Yeah, albeit hopefully with some better... Well, better news came out of it, so hopefully a better outcome is on the way. But it's so aggravating, like... To have to get up, it's been like once a month now, basically, because I was trying to figure it out the other day, and I'm pretty sure this was my seventh appearance, you know, not counting the arraignment during the original one. So, like, in this particular courtroom, in front of this particular judge, although one time she wasn't there, but for the most part, so it's been seven appearances, and every one of them has ended with, six of them ended with me being told to go home and come back on another date because it was adjourned. I was told to come back on another date, although I wasn't there because that was the one time the judge felt bad for me and told me, oh, you don't have to come next time because I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen. And she was right. It just got adjourned again. So my saga continues for anybody who hasn't been following along. This is stemming from my insane arrest earlier this year for trying to remove trespassers from my own property. And I'm still dealing with that. So... Yeah, so once again, I had to get up early in the morning, you know, which, you know, early in the morning thing, fine, okay, that I just say that for added effect, but like get up early to put on a monkey suit, which I don't like wearing. Like I posted a video about this afterwards because a friend of mine had actually recommended after the last date that I should do a video and just, you know, express my thoughts and stuff about how I was feeling about all this. And then he also remarked that I should have been doing this for all of my appearances, to which I said, well, that's a great idea. And unless you have a time machine, though, we're not going to be able to do that because I did not take a video. You know, I didn't do a video after every one of these. But it was just kind of like to, you know, chronicle what has happened to me and this just insane journey I've been on and how I get to see how the inside of the legal system really works and how slow it really is, especially if you are not... high priority. And at one point I was, because of the publicity the case drew, but that quickly died down because, you know, as I learned, even though I was extremely hated around here for a very short period of time, it kind of blew over pretty quickly for the large on the large part, because three major stories ended up hitting like the next week, all within a day of each other. So I was forgotten about.
Outrage moves fast.
Exactly. So this time around, again, once again, it got adjourned. Once again, it was called for by my side, but it's because my side was put in a position where, you know, wasn't really much of an option either, you know, either to say screw it and call for a trial right now, which is not something we're trying to avoid, if possible, or ask for an adjournment, because I have my new lawyer on the case. And they still managed to stonewall him enough that he didn't get what he wanted by the time the date rolled around. So he had to ask for one. But apparently they are now considering offering me the ACOD plea, which is adjournment in contemplation of dismissal, which basically means there's still a chance for this thing to get dismissed. So I don't even have, you know, before it even gets to trial, which would be huge. on two fronts, because number one, it'll finally be over. Well, almost finally be over. More on that in a second. And secondly, it'll save me some fee. It'll save me lawyer's fees because the deal I have worked out with my current lawyer is I had to give him a, you know, a certain payment up front. And then if we go to trial, there's a second payment coming. So if I can avoid the second payment, which I can't afford to pay in the first place, that would be great. And the quicker this thing ends, the better. The only thing that that would likely happen in that scenario, if that's what ends up happening, is that they'll probably try to tack on community service with that. And, you know, the ACOD basically means it gets adjourned again, but as long as I'm a good boy from 6 months, you know, usually 6 months, they could make it longer, but usually 6 months from that date, then they say, okay, you've been a good boy. Now we dismiss the case. You know,
so as long as nobody trespasses on your property for the next 6 months, you're good, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So apparently that's a possibility, and that's what my new lawyer is now working towards, to which I got a lot of pushback on from some people. Who were commenting on either the video that I posted or writing me private messages and stuff, and just angry because they think my lawyer is not actually, you know, my lawyer is trying to avoid a trial. And why are you taking any deal? It's like, well, no, the deal I would be taking is a dismissal. That's a good thing. Like, a dismissal. I would like, you know,
but
like
you
I
still would, have a community service, right?
Well, yeah, and that's the one trade-off that I'm iffy about. But you know, I look at it this way: like, Well, see, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with volunteer work. You know, I used to do it in the past. I volunteered at the hospitals when I was younger. I volunteered at animal shelters and stuff like that throughout my life. And I fully intend on doing more of that later on. It's just I'm not in a place to be doing it right now. My problem is being forced to do it, number one. You know, being court ordered to do it, I kind of have a problem with, obviously. And number two, the way the system works is if you are court ordered to do this, then you have to pay some type of fee in order to have your hours validated and stuff like that.
When you've got a gun to your head, all that dogma goes out the window. I think it's ridiculous that people, you know, they try to get all religious about this thing where they say that, you know, you have to do things this way, and if you take a plea, you're not a good activist or whatever. And you know, if you got a gun to your head, you got to do what you got to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I could have taken. I mean, they already offered one plea that I turned down. You know, I could have taken that one and had this one done already. Like, I wouldn't have had to go to court. Actually, this may have been my last time when I was just there on Thursday. Had I taken the deal the last time. But I didn't want to because I'm normally opposed to taking a plea. But in this particular case, you know, like I said, I'm kind of irked by the fact that I would be not only being forced to perform labor, you know, without getting compensated for it, but I would also have to pay up money out of my own pocket to give away my labor for free while I was being forced to do so. Like that's kind of a double whammy of like, you know, screw you, buddy. But
yeah, and they'll probably have you like working at Goodwill or on the side of the road.
Well, no, most of the times you can choose your own.
Oh,
like they're you know, so yeah. I'll hopefully be able to hook up with some animal shelter or something like that. But you know, I kind of have to weigh that out with, okay, do I really want to fight? Because yeah, I could go to trial and I'll probably win. Like the fact that they're backpedaling this far now obviously shows that they know they don't really want to go to trial with this. So, you know, I probably could win, but that'll be another couple of months tacked on, plus the extra fee I would have to pay my lawyer, you know. So it's like, and that throws off the whole sale of my house, me getting out of New York. So I really have to weigh all these things out. And I mean, obviously there's no deal in place yet, so I can't get, you know, too excited about anything. But I guess my initial reactions have been, well, if that's what they offer me, unless the amount of hours they try to give me is too insane, I'll probably take it. Because I was going to ask your guys' opinion on that. Because like I said, my thinking is it would get me out of here quicker. And hopefully there's a chance they'll let me transfer them if worse comes to worse. Be like, listen, can I just perform them in the next place I go to? Because this whole thing is riding on them being convinced that I'm actually leaving the state, so I'm no longer a threat to them. Because my lawyer has requested a letter from my real estate lawyer to let the court know that he is actively working on a contract for my house to kind of show that, hey, look, this guy's leaving. Like, he's really not a threat to you anymore, to anybody here anymore. Yeah. He's not going to be
being exiled.
So, but yeah, but see, what do you guys, I mean, obviously you guys, I think you both, well, I heard John say yes. I don't know about you, Shane, but what do you guys think about that?
Yes, I agree. I think you have to be pragmatic sometimes and pick and choose your battles. And this is not the hill you want to die on. And yeah, this has been dragged out for so long already. And I've been looking forward to you living closer to here so we can hang out more often.
Yeah, man. Well, that's still, you know, I'm working on it. The, you know, I was talking about this the other day. I think Indiana's been pretty much settled as where I'm going to be. Where in Indiana, I'm not sure. But it'll definitely be a heck of a lot closer to you than I am right now.
Well, yeah. That's it's right next door to where I am living currently, and that's where I grew up at. So I'm really familiar with most of Indiana, at least the northern half. So, but you could end up in the southern half. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't have, you know, like everything else through my entire life. Well, at least recently, I don't have any definitive plans. But
yeah, like the magic eight ball.
Yeah, I believe Jen and I have settled on Indiana, and it seems like that's going to work out for the best. You know, as far as, you know, overall the best for us, and it's just a matter of picking a place now. And the only prerequisites really is obviously we, you know, got to find a decent place to live, hopefully in a nice area, a decent area, but it has to be within like 45 minutes, no more than an hour of a big city, because we need specialists for our one daughter, who, you know, the one who has CP.
Oh, yeah.
And all of her, because unfortunately she also has seizure issues and stuff. So, you know, we need to be near a place that has a good choices, rather. Not, I shouldn't just say a good neurologist, but a good option for neurologists and any other type of specialists, you know, because as much as I hate New York, that is the one thing we have right now. We're about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic, outside of NYC. So that's where we go for all the specialists and stuff like that, you know, anybody who's not local here. So that, and that's really as far as we would like to push it.
I don't know what Illinois is like, but I know that here I live in the middle of nowhere, and I'm still an hour away from two different major cities. So it's definitely possible to kind of get that happy medium.
Well, I'm two hours from Indianapolis, and Indianapolis is pretty well known, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but you're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Last segment, we were playing catch up with me and all the wonderful things that have been going on in my life, and how I'm hopefully getting that much closer to finally leaving this horrible, horrible state. But while I'm still stuck here, you know, one of the things I'm doing besides waiting out my court situation, because that was the other thing that came out of this is, yeah, okay, we may be moving towards the outcome that I was kind of hoping for this whole time, which is great, but now it's been extended even further because, of course, even though the last court date was on November 30th, and I've been coming to court once a month except for that one month the judge told me I didn't have to show up this whole time, With winter recess coming up, the people in the court system, they only work for like, I think, like a week and a half in the first in December, and then they get the whole month off, the whole rest of the month off. So all the court cases are already getting pushed to the next year. So my next date is until the end of January. So now, on top of everything else, I have to wait 2 more months to go back. And officially, at that point, if the deal, you know, if the offer has been extended, I guess officially accept it and then move on from there, which may, like I said, may interfere with the, even that may interfere with the initial plan to sell the house, because the last time I spoke to the guy who's interested in buying it, we had discussed end of December, and I'd already pushed it back till end of January. I'm kind of iffy about coming to him again and being like, hey, I got to push it back till the end of February now, because I know he was, he was looking to buy it and fix it up and rent it out, because he has a construction/painting company. And I know he's looking to put his guys to work for the winter, basically fixing up this place. So if he doesn't have it for most of the winter, it's going to kind of be a waste to him. So I don't know. But yeah, I'll have to deal with that.
Another fine example of how the red tape of government provides an inconvenience to us all.
Indeed.
Yes. And I've been inconvenienced all around. So, yeah. You know, and but so while I'm stuck here, and now that I have the next 2 months, I think I mentioned this last week, is, you know, the other thing I'm trying to do right now is trying to mine cryptocurrencies, because, well, I don't have any more money to throw into the crypto market. I only can move around what I already have. But, you know, I went out and spent money. I took a little money out of my crypto and purchase some stuff to build my own mining rig, and I've almost officially got it up and running completely successfully. A week later, you know, because it was last week, I'd finally gotten all the parts I needed after Amazon had sent me like stuff like the wrong memory, you know, so that took like another 4 days to get turned around and come back, so I couldn't even start until that showed up. I finally got the thing together and got it up and running, and I had to reinstall Windows like so many times. I lost track, honestly, how many times I did, because the guide that I was following, there was these little quirks that were happening, and I just couldn't figure it out. And then I found a super simple method that hadn't worked the first time I tried it, but when I tried it the second time, it was a lot more successful. So I've been sticking with that, and I finally had like my first successful test for like 6 hours straight with no issues last night, until there was like a hiccup. But unfortunately, I think that it just might have been like a power surge at the house, because unfortunately here we get things, stupid stuff like that all the time, where the power flickers because of the overhead electrical lines. And when it gets kind of windy, everything blows. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, you know, just enough to knock your stuff out of whack. So, yep. And then I had a 7-hour successful run leading up to the show tonight, just short of where I wanted to get it to, where I was hoping I would get 8 hours. There was a little more than 7 hours, but I was hoping to get 8 hours, which would have put me just about the time I needed to reset the computers anyway to get ready for the show. But, you know, I'm getting there, and it's been an interesting experience, because I've been learning how to do this all pretty much on my own, and just reading and, you know, hopping in different forums and stuff like that, and finding other people's mistakes and trying to learn from them as well as my own. So it's been fun, but I'm pretty close to having it. I think at this point it's just a matter of fine tuning the cards, because unfortunately, even though I bought four video cards from the same manufacturer and from this, I ordered them from the same place, you have to set them all differently, because having them clock, you know, because you're overclocking these things to be able to get more power out of them.
In some cases.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do with these things. And unfortunately, you know, even though they're all the same, I have to be very careful about how I tweak them back and forth, because sometimes they don't really jive with one another, or if they're set at a different, you know, different megahertz and stuff. It's crazy, man. But it's been fun. So,
learn.
I still encourage people to get into it if they're looking for a way to get into the crypto markets.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow.
And we're back. Last segment, we were talking about my adventures in mining and trying to get my Monero rig up and running. And during the break, we were talking about, you know, the profitability about this type of stuff, and also just in general, like the rise of certain coins. You know, Monero is one of them. I hope continues to rise. I mean, obviously, because I'm going to be trying to mine it, but for other reasons too. But it's, you know, more for the privacy issues. And you know, you mentioned Vertcoin Chain, which I know we've talked about on the show before. It's another one I'm pretty high on. Still kicking myself for not buying more a week and a half ago because the price has doubled since then. You know, still pretty cheap considering the rest of the crypto world currently at only $8 a coin. So you can sit in on that if you want to. But I think there seems to be more of a push towards the privacy coins now with the more and more information that comes out from the government about them trying to weasel their way into different things.
Exactly.
As far as the crypto world, like there was the announcement, I guess it was a couple of days ago, that one of the courts, I forget which level it was, but one of the courts in California ordered Coinbase to release the information of like something like 140,000 Coinbase users. Basically anybody who had traded,
$20,000.
Yeah, I don't know if it was held or just traded. Yeah, anybody who traded, like, that's as far as they could get away with. Because they originally, the IRS wanted everybody.
That's the same number that they use for PayPal, too.
Really?
Yeah, so, like, if you have under 20, if you receive PayPal payments for your business or whatever, if you receive under 20 grand, you don't get a 1099 or whatever. If you do over 20 grand, you do get a 1099.
Oh,
so I have a feeling that that's some kind of magic number with the legal situation.
Now, is that, like, per payment or per year?
Per year.
Okay, yeah. So that is just like the Bitcoin. Or the exchange, Coinbase.
Yeah, so I have a feeling that maybe with some internet laws or something like that, maybe 20 grand is the number that they can get a hold of.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That would make sense. But it just, you know, so that came out a couple of days ago. And of course, Coinbase claims they're going to keep fighting this. Although I know a lot of people were down on Coinbase to begin with and are kind of like calling this another one of those nails in the coffin things. Kind of like, you know, well, you're going to be giving up the information, so who wants to go there? Because especially the, you know, 20,000 is still a decent amount of money, but these days, you know, that's only a couple of Bitcoin. So if you're, you know, if you're just, you know, if you're one of these Bitcoin millionaires who has a decent amount of them, and you're just trying to trade a couple of them, and you're going to get nailed for that. You know, so that's why I think, you know, between that and there's been other rumblings from either from the IRS or from different Congress critters who are making claims about what they want to do and try, you know, constantly trying to regulate this. And then, of course, there's on top of, which is funny because they go out there doing stuff like that, which obviously kind of tips their hand and shows that they recognize the threat cryptocurrencies provide to their little system. Of, you know, the monetary system that's very controlled by the government and stuff like that. But on the other hand, they'll go out there and try to discredit it left and right, where, you know, what was it, a month or two ago, whenever it was, when Jamie Dimon came out and declared yeah. Bitcoin to be a fraud. And then, you know, mysteriously, the very next day, JP Morgan was purchasing a lot of Bitcoin when the dip happened after he said that, when it dipped below $5,000 at that point. And then more recently, We actually have an article about this, but one of the people from the Fed themselves is actually coming out and screaming about the fact that, you know, not only is it a fraud, but Bitcoin's bad because it's not backed by anything. Said without a hint of irony.
Yeah, the kettle calling the pot black, or vice versa.
Well, they are just so high on their own authority that they think that that is the ultimate backing. They think that that is the ultimate value, is their decree.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, wasn't it, who is it, the, it was the guy from MasterCard who we talked about a couple of weeks back, who came out and said, you know, was decrying, like, basically said the only cryptocurrency that would be worth anything is one put out by a central bank, because then it has same type of thing. It's just the same line of rhetoric that, you know, it has to be backed by something. It's not backed by anything. It's not backed by anything.
It's not backed by us.
Exactly. Because, you know, they always fail to mention in those same conversations, you know, they don't want to talk about what their stuff's backed by.
Exactly.
What's the tagline for the U.S. money, but backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government? What does that mean? You know?
What does it mean anymore? Because they're not very faithful and they don't have very much credit.
Yeah, but even then, like, what did it ever mean, like, to be like the full faith of the government? Yeah, it means it's backed by the government's guns, what the government can do with its guns and how much, you know. That's basically what it means. That's what it comes down to. So it's so hysterical that these people are coming out and saying this. And like I said, it'd be one thing if they were just out there constantly ripping it, and whether it be, you know, people up in the banking industry like Jamie Dimon, you know, in the corporations, or people directly in the Fed. You know, if they were just coming out decrying, it'd be one thing. But all the stuff they're doing on the flip side, like all the legislation they're trying to put in place and the threats they're making, you know, obviously they see it as a threat. So it's like, it makes it doubly bad. You know, like I said, if they were just decrying it, all right, fine. You know, obviously they got to try to put down their competition any way they can. But it's not because it's obviously not because it's bad or evil. It's because it's a legitimate threat to their structure. You know, like this article from Fee that we have touches on it too, where I've seen the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
I see this all the time too. Not only did they either come out and call it a fraud or talk about the fact that it's not backed by anything, they immediately go to it's being used to fund terrorism and it could be used for illegal activities and yada, yada, yada. Now, of course, a fair article like this one written by Jeffrey Tucker goes on to mention, well, yeah, but how many U.S. dollars, for example, are used to fund terrorism or for illegal activities?
Exactly.
Or for any of all these things? Usually?
Yeah.
A lot more.
How many U.S. dollars printed straight from the mint go and fund terrorism?
Yeah, exactly. They're printed with a specific purpose to be given to people like, you know, ISIS.
Exactly.
And everybody else all around the world to continue the hostilities and give the U.S. and the mega corporations like Halliburton and all them the excuse to keep churning out, you know, getting the money to come into their coffers.
Yeah, the military-industrial complex is not cheap.
No, it isn't. So
it is funny, though, as soon as people started making, like, crazy money on it, as soon as people started buying Lambos and houses and stuff like that, they had to start taking it seriously. They didn't have a choice. And it's kind of how the same way with legal weed. Like, once they started balling out there, everybody was like, oh.
Yeah. You know, the biggest reason for that, of course, is because government is always a lagging indicator. So they don't really have a choice. They always, you know, they eventually have to follow the trend, because it's like, well, everybody's already doing it. So we either have to change our laws or change what we're doing, because everybody's going to be against us anyway, and everybody's already headed in this direction. You know, kind of like how, you know, ignorant people will claim that, you know, government is responsible for, say, getting, you know, the child labor laws and getting rid of, you know, the 40-hour work week and all that stuff. It's like, no, if you actually look at it, everything was trending that way to begin with. And it happens in just about everything you can point to in history where people can, you know, the ignorant people, like the ones we're talking about here, like whether it's Jamie Dimon or people from the Federal Reserve, will make these claims about, you know, what has to be done, because without, you know, without these, without being able to regulate, things will just be horrible. It's like, you know, because and they'll point to situations where, you know, there was another article like Shane that you shared that touched on this, because it talked about the fact that Bitcoin is definitely becoming, you know, more and more readily, even in the mainstream, being compared to like gold as far as like a store of value type thing.
Right.
It's still got to be all like gloom and doom and FUD rather, just like it, everything, you know, just to try to scare you away from it, because, well, you know, look at all these times that government let things happen like this, and they give all these different statistics of how things went wrong. And it's like, well, no, government was still interfering.
Yeah, they've always had their fingers involved in all of this stuff.
Exactly. And this is currently the one place where they don't have their tentacles in just yet. And you can see how things are flourishing, and it's just scaring the bejesus out of a lot of these people, because I think they really recognize that the writing's on the wall, and now they don't have a choice but to try to hop on and, you know, in one breath discredit it, but in the other breath constantly do things to prove how much, you know, how much value it already has shown for other people. Which I think is great, actually, because it's just going to help the whole crypto market continue to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. They're definitely coming down, though. They're definitely. I saw another thing saying that there was some bill they were trying to pass to criminalize the concealment of cryptocurrency or something like that, too.
Yeah, I caught that headline. I didn't read too much further into it. I mean, that seems exactly what they want to do, obviously. I mean, I don't know how far that one will actually get, but, you know, if it does, all the more reason to focus on these more private coins.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, China's tried to ban stuff a lot of times, and all it did was create temporary FUD, and then Bitcoin bounced right back. So I don't see this causing any long-term, you know, change in the crypto market.
Well, it just will give them another foot in the door to throw you in a cage, unfortunately. That's the main concern.
Yeah.
That's one thing it will do.
Well, you know, pretty much everything else is illegal already, so we already all commit pretty much 3 felonies a day, so, you know, what are you going to do? Just add another one to the list. Make it interesting.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Freedom Fiends! Helping the helpless! Freedom Fiends! Saving the universe! Freedom Fiends! Doing the things that I've done!
Saving the world from the state! Fighting the forces of hate!
And we're back, and we were talking cryptos again, because, you know, that's what we like to do on Sundays, although...
At least for the first hour, anyway.
Yeah, although I think we've shortened it up a little bit, because, you know, we talked about me for a long time, but you had another article that I had actually mentioned in the previous segment, Shane, and you wanted to touch on a little bit before we finish up the first hour here, so why don't you go ahead?
Right, one of the things that got brought up in the Tucker article from Fee was about how it's a fiat, or, you know, it's not backed by anything. And it's ironic that this article comes out of the CME group. And it talks about...
I don't know what that is.
The CME group actually stands for the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. For those who I may have buried the lead for, They are a group out of Chicago that is, you know, responsible for trading in derivatives and all that kind of thing. They are some of the people who inflate these bubbles that we see, like with the, you know, housing market and derivatives bubbles and things like that. But they're actually looking to get involved into Bitcoin cryptocurrency trading here pretty soon. The speculation is that CME is going to be coming out with Bitcoin futures to trade on the derivatives market. And so that's why they want to see it a little bit more regulated. And they go through the pros and cons here in this article. And I'm not going to go into it completely because I do disagree with a lot of their stances on economics and Bitcoin itself, as far as, like, you know, laws. There ought to be a law.
Like,
but anyway.
Things like the New Deal was great.
Yeah, exactly. But so they start off talking about supply scarcity and stores of value, and they compare it to gold. And they say that, you know, while gold may have had volatility, it's nothing compared to the volatility in Bitcoin. And they do see that as both, you know, good and bad. And, you know, so they, then the next section of the article says Bitcoin, gold, and fiat currencies, demand and regulation. And then they go into why they would like to see the market more regulated. And it's because, you know, if they're going to get their foot in the door, they don't want to get, you know, bit by playing, you know, with fire here. So what they're trying to do, I think, is kind of level or tilt the playing field in their favor for when they get involved and start throwing this big institutional money around in the Bitcoin crypto space. And then the next section of the article says medium of exchange and the benefits of inflation. And they actually talk about inflation as if it was a good thing. And they're talking about how people are hodling Bitcoin and they're not actually spending it like a currency. And they say, well, that's a good thing that the dollar has high inflation, because then it incentivizes you to spend it now rather than later, you know, as if that's a good thing. As a store of value that loses money over time, you know, they actually make arguments for that. But then they talk about unit of account and method of deferred payment. They also talk about the future of Bitcoin. And so the reason that they're talking about all this is because they want to also get involved and start, you know, inflating these bubbles with their derivatives markets and so forth. And I have heard speculation that when this occurs, when they do make this announcement that CME futures are going to be trading, is that a lot of the early adopting hodlers say that we could get a tripling in the price of Bitcoin in a short amount of time. So if you think 10,000 is unrealistic, at least I thought 10,000 would not happen until 2018, and I was proven wrong about that. So the possibility of 30,000 in the first quarter or second quarter of 2018 is actually realistic. So there you go.
Yeah, that's crazy. We were talking about that earlier during one of the breaks, and you know, the fact that if that happened, it would be, you know, it would almost definitely be them inflating that bubble. But, you know, as often as I hodl and just say, okay, I'll just ride it out. Because I know when stuff like this happens that, you know, a lot of people panic. But if you're smart about it, you just wait. It'll come back down. But if it triples like that, it's going to be really hard not to give one up. Because, you know, current price triple, we're talking 33 grand for one Bitcoin. Man, hard to say no. I don't know.
It does sound kind of tempting to turn some of that into U.S. dollars.
Yeah. Well, with that, we're going to head out to the market. We'll return with the second hour. Farms.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Trigger warning. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org.
Just to be clear, you did lose those coins in a boating accident, right, Jeremy?
Yes.
That's a voting accident?
Yes.
Or a voting accident?
Yeah, voting accident. That's it.
Well, in New York, we usually lose things in a voting accident. But ironically, all of my Bitcoin sank to the bottom of the sea in a boating accident. So, you know. Can't do anything about it, man. Just, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. That's a likely story.
Yes. One I see being replicated a lot. I don't know why. I just have this feeling.
Yeah. All right. So what do we got going on for the second hour? We're going to shift gears here up from talking about cryptocurrency to, let's see here, how a satire of the left was actually taken seriously by not just the right, but also the left as well. And I think this is an article that John shared.
Yeah, I saw this earlier today. It was Medusa Magazine. It shut down earlier this week.
I had never heard of this, but
neither have I. But I don't roll in that culture war, circles on either side of it. So I try to ignore it as much as possible. And one of the reasons why I try to ignore that stuff as much as possible, because I had this sinking feeling that so much of this stuff that goes viral on Facebook every day, where the left and the right just shares it because it confirms their biases or whatever, I always really felt like a lot of it was fake. And here is one example of a long-running website that had people on both sides going. People on the left loved it. People on the right hated it. And then one day they just said, "You're all a bunch of idiots," and we're shutting down the website.
Yeah, reading through it, one of the statements was, well, actually a couple of them was basically like, "Yeah, there's really no need for us to run this anymore because we've realized that the actual left." Like the actual extreme left and the SJWs and the feminists that we set out to make fun of are actually even more insane than anything we could come up with. So there's really no point to us doing it anymore. And they actually pointed their followers to just go read that stuff now that they're not putting any content out anymore. It's just like, just go read the actual mainstream news, the mainstream feeds from these people. And yeah, you'll get everything and more than we were trying to do anyway.
One of the articles on here was "Don't gender your pets," and it had this big thing about how your animals aren't male or female or whatever.
Oh man!
And people were buying it on both sides, eating it up.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's supposed to be an extreme caricature of the other side, but it was actually a pretty close call. Like, and it was taken seriously. Because people thought, well, you know, a lot of them actually do this. And so much so that a lot of people on the left actually took it seriously and ran with it. And who knows how much degeneracy was caused as a result of taking this stuff seriously.
Yeah, and yeah. Really, I mean, how much division did it stoke, too? You know what I mean? And how much time was wasted on focusing on these nonsensical issues that some idiot troll made up? When we could be, you know, fighting the state.
Yeah. This reminds me of, like, those Onion articles that were taken seriously. You know, it's like, well, when the Onion is an accurate news source, then we have to really take a step back and look at what's going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true. But, I mean, as far as, like, you know, sites like this and what you're talking about, John, you know, because I've had that feeling too, like how much of this is actually real. And a lot of the times if you go read it, like most of the more extreme stuff is, you know, if you follow the paper trail back, it usually starts as some satirical site. But, you know, to the extent that it's taken seriously, I mean, they were talking about, you know, they mentioned a whole bunch of different websites that had gotten fooled by them regularly. And, you know, mainstream sources, you know, news stations and news reports were like quoting this, you know, this particular blog as a source.
I've gotten fooled by that before, because I have sourced a mainstream news article in one of my articles before, but it turned out that they sourced something that was a total troll, and I got caught up in the mix.
Yeah, well, you got to track everything. You got to try to find the, you know, if you're going to do that, I mean, the only way, it's almost impossible these days to do your due diligence like that, but you got to try, and even mainstream sources, you have to see where they're getting their information from, because who the heck knows anymore? But, I mean, it seems like, you know, I mean, I said it earlier when we started talking about this, I think before the show, that, I mean, not only was I convinced that this was the case, but it was kind of proven to me by when I found a lot of stuff like this. And, if you start following these trails, then you come to a site that, like, a lot of the times they'll kind of obfuscate it, but, you know, you'll see it somewhere on their page. It'll actually mention the fact that they're satire if you go looking, but people just don't care. Because, like you said, it confirms their biases, but it seems like it's almost just one gigantic social experiment, you know, just so many people out there with these extreme views, and see how many people you can convince to get as crazy about these made up issues. And then once you have it off and running, you could just fall back and you know, it takes on a life of its own. And then these, as far as, you know, a good portion of the population is concerned, then these become actual issues. You know, in a couple of years down the road, yeah, things do shift where people are saying things that a couple of years beforehand, you know, would have only been said satirically, because they've just been convinced about it. And just, that's what, to me, it just, you know, whether it is by design or not, like I said, it really seems like this giant experiment that just,
well,
like,
this is all the stuff that's being blamed on the Russians, you know what I mean? And I mean, they put, what, 100, they're being accused of putting like $100,000 into Facebook ads to promote quote unquote fake news, which is what we're talking about. But I wonder, like, how much of this, like, they're saying is Russians, but I wonder how many millions of dollars our own government is putting into this, or even, you know, just the general collective of idiots out there. But I definitely think that if foreign governments have an interest in allegedly causing division between people, then our government definitely does. I hate to put my tinfoil hat on there again, but you know me.
Well, I would agree.
Well, yeah, you would. It's kind of hard to, you know, imagine any different, because you just look at history, and pretty much anything that you can accuse some other, you know, whether you're a flag-waving patriot or not, like, what you can accuse some other government of doing, there's a good chance that the U.S. government has done it and done it worse or better.
Right, yeah.
I guess, depending on how you're looking at it.
We keep blaming the Russians, but the American corporate media has been caught doing, you know, worse than this all the time.
Well, actually, now that you mention it, that does bring me to that other story that I saw, where all of this havoc was caused last week because of some false BBC reporting. It ended up causing, apparently there was an airstrike on Damascus from Israel, and there were some stock market issues because of this false BBC report, where it claimed that a Western intelligence source, let's see, it was apparently talking about satellite images dealing with, like, the construction of an Iranian military base in Syria.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, and apparently this was totally bogus, and it ended up causing a missile strike and a whole bunch of stock market activity. And this is BBC, one of the most, you know, trusted news sources in the world.
Oh, yeah. And at one point, they justified it by quoting a previous story that was their own story that was unsubstantiated, that they never bothered to substantiate. But a month later, after the fact, they pointed to that, and other sources, including, you know, the Israeli government are pointing to that and going, look, it says it right here in the BBC. But if you read, you know, if you read it really in detail, even that original report, you know, they have to admit that they're not actually, they don't actually have proof, because they have to use words like claim, because that's all it is.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. But that's, yeah, where's the pocket alibi when you need it? But that's, you know, but that's exactly what we're talking about here, where it's like, you know, if you follow the trail of where these things lead, it's like, yeah, we're corroborating with this story, but that's like, it's your own story. And you didn't even corroborate that in the first place. You know, so it's, you know, but whether it is different governments doing this, or whether it is some, you know, larger force, depending on how big you want your tinfoil hat to get tonight, or just people, like I said, actually engaging in social experiments for, like, you know, like the 4chan group that does this stuff constantly. You know, their latest one was the it's okay to be white thing, where they, you know, people go out and do this stuff on purpose to try to get a reaction, and it works. Because the extremes on both sides are on edge, and they're so ready to look to confirm their biases constantly, because that's how most of those people survive. I mean, I know that's when I was one of them. That's how I did. It was, you know, because that's the only way you can feel good. If you think you're trying to be, like, involved in politics, then you're miserable, because the other side's horrible and they do all the horrible things. Like, you constantly look for that to make yourself feel better. So it's easy to get sucked into this. So there's plenty of people just doing it out there just for fun and just to watch the carnage. And it comes every single time. These people just can't resist themselves. I mean, I know people used to be on my friends list that would share these articles, whatever, you know, whatever side they were on, whatever position they were taking, they would share these articles that obviously blatantly confirmed their biases. And, like, even after I would point out to them, like, look, it says right here on this site, it's satire. It's like, they would find, you know, they move the goalpost however they need to be able to still be like, well, no, it's still what I was saying. It's still these people. It's still this. It's like,
well, yeah, usually their retort is that, I'm sorry, I just spaced out, man. You go ahead.
Don't troll my bias, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a good show title. Thanks, Shane.
It's one of those things where they're like, this is what I was trying to explain to people in the words that I was trying to explain.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
So we're back, and we had another story that John brought to us, written by John. Which, when I caught the headline at first, I thought this was actually another story, because I actually just recently watched a video about somebody, I guess in New Zealand, trying to do something like this. But I don't think he had as bad of an outcome as this poor guy did. So, did you want to tell us about this, John?
Yeah. So, of course, it's kind of been a cliche in activism over the years to pay ridiculous fees and pennies and stuff like that. And I've seen a whole bunch of videos of it happening over the years. And a lot of times in the beginning, it was, you know, people would get away with it, or they'd have to sit there and count it. And then after a while, you know, these clerks and stuff and officers that were at the court started reacting hostile to it, or arresting people, attacking people. And this guy in Royal Oaks, what MI, is that Missouri or Michigan? I'm not sure.
That's Michigan.
I think it's Michigan.
Cool. Yeah. I'm not good with my...
Missouri's MO, I believe.
Ah, okay, there we go. Well, anyway, the dude from the security camera footage I see, he kind of looks like LEG. I don't know why that makes the situation more interesting to me. But so anyway, he tries to pay. It's $10 in pennies, so it's really not even that many pennies. He's got, like, you know, maybe a plastic Ziploc bag full of pennies or something like that.
I think he had even rolls, which is even, yeah. You know, it's not even like he was, you know, just dumping pennies out, which would have been even more, which would have been even funnier. But
well, there was a video on YouTube of a guy doing it with a giant bucket where he just dumps it on the thing, and I think he did get in a lot of trouble. So anyway, they basically tell him to leave, and to back up a little bit, the reason why he was so mad is because he tried to pay the $10 fee with his credit card online, and they said it would be like another $2 fee for that. So, you know, that's essentially another 20% onto his fine. So he got real mad about that. And, you know, he ended up going back. And so they told him to leave, and he goes to leave. And it doesn't look on the camera like there's anything, you know, there's no words exchanged or anything that you can tell. And he just is walking straight. And then they tackle him, they throw him around, and they choke him out. And when he wakes up, he has found that he has soiled himself, I guess is the best way to say.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So now he's, of course, you know, filing a hefty lawsuit. I'm not sure what the amount is for. But, you know, I mean, his name's out there on the news, you know, that and his picture that this happened to him. So, I mean, I'm sure he's got to be, you know, suing for some punitive pain and suffering type damages as well.
Well, yeah, because now
I feel bad for laughing, but it's just one of those.
Well, yeah, of course, it's kind of hard not to with the situation. I mean, obviously, if you're not in it, it is kind of, you know, to some extent. But I mean, I watched the video, and yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell whether anything was said or not back and forth. And regardless of it was or not, unless
he doesn't give an excuse,
yeah, for what happened. And the other thing too was that if you watch the video, and it was, you know, I think you mentioned it too, like, it actually, you can see that they specifically wait until they're at the security guards don't do anything until they're in this little, like, in the little vestibule area or atrium. I don't know which one that's actually called, but, you know, in that little area when he's trying to walk out the door where the cameras are specifically blocked out from, like, the camera can't see that angle when the attack first happens. You only see it because you can still see the feet and you see the movement, and then the guy pops, the two of them pop out the other side back into exactly. The view of the camera. But it was like almost like the guards knew exactly what they were doing and you know, waiting for that right time just to grab him at first. So, you know, they can obviously make their story whatever it is, you know, obviously out of full view. They, you know, you have no idea. He tried to pull something. It looked like he was pulling a gun or something, you know, whatever they want to say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was super sketchy how that went down. It definitely looked like they knew where the cameras were in the building, and they have to if they're, you know, guards there or whatever. And but yeah, this is definitely, and something else interesting that I found when I was researching the story is that this specific town is like notorious for parking tickets. And they've actually had a lot of controversy in the past about it.
Yeah, well, gotta get that revenue, right?
Maybe $2.5 million a year for them.
Wow. Oh. We'll talk about more of that.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Well, So in the last segment, we were talking about this article, or the story about this poor guy who went in to go pay his fine up in Michigan, I guess, and his $10 parking fine, and they ended up beating the daylights out of him to the, well, beating a lot of the stuff out of him, actually, which some of which is not very radio friendly. But yeah, they literally beat the poop out of the poor guy. So, you know, and as we were saying, as we headed into the break, John, you had mentioned that this particular place, the particular town that he's in, this particular apartment, is like notorious for this. And you mentioned, I think right before the break, you said something like $2.5 million they brought in a year.
Yeah, 2.15, actually. I misspoke there, but that's still astronomical. And this, their revenue increased greatly after 2012 when they took advantage of a new state law that allowed them to revoke the driver's license of anyone who had three or more unpaid parking tickets. So, you know, this basically forced people to pay up. And in a general year, they put out roughly 100,000 parking tickets. I'm not sure what their population is, but I'm guessing it's not, you know, like a major city. And the commissioner ended up telling the local paper after that controversy at that point that they were making like $2.15 million a year. And that was four or five years ago. So, you know, God knows how things are going now with that. And how many people have had their licenses revoked because they couldn't afford to pay the tickets, too. And the only thing that this commissioner had to say as far as, you know, any kind of answer to the people, he said, "If you want to avoid a ticket, just check out the map on the city website and park in one of our three structures for a flat fee."
That's another thing I ever... the whole thing's a racket, obviously, but... So one of the things, like, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, this guy in particular was only, you know, protesting a $10 fine, which may not seem like a lot to people, but just, you know, on principle, you know, to an even smaller extent than that is stuff like the fact that you have to pay for parking in the first place when you're forced to pay for the roads and the structures and everything else.
And yeah,
the upkeep of it. And then you're forced to pay to park there too.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember a few years ago when I had to retire from the black market and I started delivering food. I was getting parking tickets all the time, even though I was a delivery driver. And I was in this part of town where there was just a zero tolerance for it. And so I was basically, I ended up a couple of weeks just spending all my tips on parking tickets. So even though they were small, you know, $15 here and there, it really adds up when somebody is living paycheck to paycheck or in a situation like that.
Sure. And like you said, this particular town, and I'm sure this happens in plenty of places, I know, in fact, it happens here in Nassau County, that they took advantage of the fact that, you know, a state law was passed that they're like, ooh, now we can just, you know, crack down on the, you know, instead of actually going out and fighting real crime, we can just crack down on parking enforcement even more. And once they get once we rack up three, then we take away their license. So then we get money from them for that, because then they have to pay the money to get their license back, you know, which includes fines and surcharges on top of those fines. and usually tax on top of all of that, all which goes back into their coffers, and they, you know, and then they don't actually have to do any real work. So that's what they live for, and that's why they, you know, and they count on the fact that most people will just begrudgingly pay and won't protest like this poor, you know, like this guy did. And, you know, yeah, I have seen it. I mean, there's people that have been made, you know, internet famous for it all over the place. I mean, like I was saying earlier, I confused this story when I first started reading the headline for something I had recently seen, a guy in New Zealand who did it, but he was able to walk away from it, I guess. But it's the same argument everywhere, even in other countries. They try to, you know, it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, whatever it's the rules usually are, you have to pay in our currency. Well, this is your currency, isn't it? You know, I mean, I've seen some places where this has happened, where somebody's gone in and some kind of viral video has been made where the person has gone in and paid. And then after that, they'll pass a law, regulation or whatever that now all of a sudden you have to pay in bill, you know, dollar bills, at, you know, if you're not paying in credit or a check or whatever it is. And they'll actually outlaw it, even though that completely conflicts with their own legal tender laws.
Well, my favorite one was they actually did that somewhere where they said you have to have dollar bills. So somebody, if I remember correctly, they did a bunch of pig origamis with the dollar bills and put them all in a donut box. And then
that's awesome.
I saw that. It was awesome.
All right. Now that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's some next level trolling there.
I would like to buy that person a beer because that is spectacular.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
Oh man. But yeah, I mean, but yeah, and all of this, you know, just so they can generate revenue, which is just so despicable because, you know, like I said, they're extorting you for everything else to begin with. And then it's like, well, how do we get even more money? And, you know, and with these type of tactics too, how do we get more control? Well, it's not good enough that you have to pay us these fines. Now we're going to specifically dictate how you can pay these fines. And, you know, if you don't do it to that, if you don't do it to our specifications, then, well, we may just beat you down in the hallway on the way out the door.
Yeah, and who knows if there isn't somebody who, you know, is collecting change and that they don't have anything else to pay the bill and they don't have that 9% for Coinstar or whatever. Those people are screwed, but, you know, the government hates poor people.
Yes, that it does.
Worms.
But, you know, I mean, you know, speaking of the revenue thing, I mean, like I said, it's bad enough that they already extort you for everything, but then they find ways to get even more money, and usually for their own personal benefit. I mean, whether it's they have quotas, and I've seen situations where they get bonuses for stuff like that, or for exceeding their quotas, and then you know, whether it's a civil asset forfeiture or any of those things where they end up getting to keep the money and use it for themselves, or in the case of this other story we had, where apparently, you know, this is something you probably expect to happen at this point, but you know, it's kind of confirmed here in this article where, like, the Senate or the House, or I guess both, they have their own special funds put aside to take care of settlements. If somebody gets, you know, if one of the House or Congress members is being sued for something, and one of them apparently recently discovered that we used like $84,000 to try to settle a sexual harassment settlement. And you know, only because this has been made public are people actually saying something about it and being like, oh well, this is the first time that's happened, although, you know, it's been used by plenty of other congress people and stuff to settle all sorts of different, you know, legal settlements that, you know, instead of having to come out of their own personal pocket or even, you know, which money that they were paid in stolen funds to begin with. But instead of coming out of that, no, we have a whole separate fund set up for you guys over here that you can just take it out, you know, like, that's just, to me, that's just so insane. I mean, obviously, I think the fact that it was used for a sexual harassment suit is even worse, but just in general, like,
The sexual harassment angle is the only reason that this is coming out right now, because that's the hot topic that's trending right now that all the reporters want to write about. And, you know, this happened in 2014. So if it wasn't for all of this, you know, spotlight that's being shined on the sexual misconduct and people in power situations, then I don't think this would have seen the light of day. And I don't think anybody would have even known that an account like this existed.
Right. It almost sounds like petty cash for sexual harassment settlements.
Yeah. Well, like I said, well, any type of legal settlement, whether it's a business dealing or whatever, it just, because I think there was some other number, like 43 other people had been using it for other settlements.
Yeah, because I'm that there's all sorts of shady dealings with lobbyists that are illegal that they end up, you know, having to pay up for if they get caught, or, you know, any number of smoking crack with Rob Ford or whatever, you know.
Exactly. So, but, you know, so, it, but it's just the fact that they have, you know, they have this on top of everything else. And I mean, for this case in particular, though, I mean, you know, you kind of expect all the double speak and stuff from politicians, because that's just how they are. But like the defense of this guy is like, you know, basically we're not admitting, you know, of course, these allegations are horrible and, you know, very, you know, trying to say that they're untruthful and stuff. And there's no proof that plenty of people, there's no proof that anything actually happened. It's like, then why'd they pay 84 grand to this woman?
Right. But we're going to sweep it under the rug anyway.
Yeah, like that to me just, you know, is just the height of the arrogance of politicians. Like even when they're caught, it's just like, no, there's no proof of anything like this. Oh, we just, you know, don't look behind the curtain over here. This is nothing to see here.
That's because that's all they have to do to get away with it. All they got to do is deny it. It's not like any but cops are coming to search their houses.
Yeah, this is true.
I don't think I've ever heard of that ever happening. Have there ever been cops shown up at like a politician's door?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, there's the extreme cases where people that were, you know, politicians throughout history actually have done things, like committed actual crimes that, you know, were so blatant and out in the news that you can't. I'm gonna grasp at straws for examples in this closing seconds of the
Ted Kennedy segment. Maybe with the chick in the trunk, maybe.
Well, I mean, that became news, but, you know, he still walked away from that.
I know, right?
Good old Teddy Cat.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert, so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers, so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
All right, and we're back. And for the Freedom Fiends, and I'm Shane, and I'm here with John and Jeremy for the final segment, which we like to bring, call Redemption in the Third Act, where we try to bring a story of redemption. But tonight I'm going to give it a little bit of a dark twist, and I'm going to start off with a little visual humor on the radio, because I remember a while back there was a meme going around that said something like 2012 people, and it says people, quote, we're saying, oh, the world is going to end. Oh, no. You know, but then in 2016, it says, are we doing this or not? You know, because, you know, back in 2012, the thought of the world ending was a very fearful prospect. But by 2016, I think many of us had been through so much that we really didn't care one way or the other. And some of us were ready to just get it over with. So that's there was also, I remember last year during 2016, there was a popular like troll campaign for a giant meteor of doom or something like that.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of stuff like giant meteor 2016. And I thought, whoa, that's pretty awesome. You know, it's really funny. But then, you know, for those who, you know, like to be kind of like not nihilistic, but, you know, apathetic about the whole thing, the whole giant meteor thing was something to look forward to. And giant meteor let us down, and we ended up with Trump instead. So maybe if giant meteor let us down, maybe there's something else we can count on, and that could be Yellowstone. It's an article from RT about what's the truth about Yellowstone supervolcano doomsday theory. And there is a conspiracy theory going around that the Yellowstone volcano is overactive, and it's could be due any million years or now or so for an eruption. Because
or a super eruption, right? Or a super
volcano. Volcano, yeah. This is an eruption on a magnitude that we've not really seen in modern history, or even recorded history for that matter. So this is unlike anything humans have ever seen, the potential. And the article starts off, it says, if you spend any time on the internet, it seems every few months humanity is faced with a looming existential threat from the depths of space. Planet X, Nibiru, the Rapture, or a wayward comet are, according to conspiracy theorists, destined to destroy us. However, there is one particular conspiracy treasured by theorists that our impending doom will come from within planet Earth, that lurking beneath America's Yellowstone National Park is a supervolcano that will kill us all. And I'm not going to read the whole article, but they go in to talk about what is a supervolcano. And there's this volcanic explosivity index that they use to measure volcanoes. And a supervolcano is orders of magnitude greater than a regular volcanic eruption. And then it says, what would it take to cause one? And I've also heard speculation that humans could probably cause this with like a well-placed nuke. I'm not sure how accurate that is. But then they also talk about what about so-called earthquakes?
Wait. A well-placed nuke, like trying to take that shot on the Death Star. is that what we're talking about here? Like that type of thing.
Well, yeah. Supposedly, if there's enough magma, you know, close enough to the surface, that a nuclear blast could displace, you know, what the soil above the ground, the rock and everything that's holding that down, then you could have the potential for a super eruption. But I don't know how accurate that is. Perhaps
if they
you'd have
shoot
to use...
harp at it, man. What happens then?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
That's a good question, although I think HARP would be a little less likely to be able to affect an eruption. Although Tesla might disagree with me, I don't know. He probably knows a thing or two about starting earthquakes, according to some people.
Allegedly. Well,
allegedly.
I guess the redemption about this was that, since we're headed out now, was that, according to the science guy in this article, it's not actually as imminent as a lot of people have threatened, because there's not, you know, the quantity of magma that's in there is not actually known, so I can't really know it. But according to him, he's like, the chances of it happening in our lifetimes, our children's, our grandchildren, our great grandchildren is so minuscule that he doesn't think you should worry about it.
Right.
It's only
going to
take the whole Earth out tomorrow and span the seas.
It's only erupted 3 times in 2 billion years, and that's like half the life of the planet. So it's not likely anytime soon.
There you go. Well, it's been a fun
show,
guys. Thanks for joining me tonight. For more of us, go to freedombeans.com.